And on today's edition of St. Teresa's on the Air, our first profile of one of our three, count them, three deacons at St. Teresa's. That's right, deacons. We give Father Ray a day off of the program and talk to one of our deacons. We're blessed at St. Teresa's to have three permanent deacons. Well, permanent as long as they like live, I guess is the way to. I guess you can't be a deacon after you pass on, right?
I don't know. I guess once you're ordained, I mean, you're ordained for life.
For life.
Yeah, and there's life after death. So we actually might be your deacons in heaven.
Deacon for eternal life.
Yeah, for eternal life.
Okay, so our first in our series of three, we're talking to our middle deacon today, at least in terms of who is a deacon at St. Teresa's, and that is Deacon Mike Leach. Welcome to the show.
Yep, thank you for having me.
Oh, sure, it's a pleasure. I promised Father Ray to give him off a few episodes, and I wanted to do a kind of a profile on each of you guys, each of the three deacons, to kind of let people know who you are and kind of find out a little bit about each of you and how you came to be what you do. Because it's a little bit different, unlike a priest, let's say, who sort of, discerns their calling and they give it all, as it were. A deacon comes to their calling, but they're still doing what they do in quote unquote real life.
Yeah.
So let's, if you don't mind, let's talk a little bit about what real life is like for Mike Leach. What do you do in real life?
So in real life, my primary vocation would be to the marriage. I'm married. This would be 29 years coming up in December. We have four daughters and three grandsons. And so my primary vocation is marriage. And so my secondary is the calling within the calling would be the diaconate. And so my day-to-day life is I work full-time at the hospital in the computer industry. I work in information systems, and we manage all the network equipment and servers and storage and all that other stuff that goes along with the electronic medical record and such. So that's my day-to-day, Monday through Friday, 40-plus hours a week.
Yeah, emphasis on the plus, I'm sure.
On the plus. And then, but I'm also a deacon. And so a deacon primarily is called a service, which is what deacon means. The diaconate is service, servant. And so I'm a servant at home to my family, and I'm a servant to my church family, at the church and into the community at large.
So the at home, is that when you say you're a servant there, is that like the honey-do list?
The honey-do list. I get up and try to make sure that the dishwasher's loaded and that kind of stuff.
And fixed when it's broken.
When it's broken.
So obviously, I mean, that sounds sort of clean on paper, but did you wake up one morning and just say, I don't have enough to do? I've got four kids. I've got a great wife. I've got a 40-hour-plus job work week. I don't have enough to do. Let me see what else I can add to my plate. How did the discernment to become a deacon in the Catholic Church come to you?
That started way a long time ago. So I think just growing up, being a servant was part of just growing up, being a part of the family. So I think, and really, the diaconate is just a reflection of how we are as lay people. We're all called to serve. Early on, I'm a convert to Catholicism. I converted when I was 20 years old. And as soon as I converted, even before I converted, I was singing in the choir, because that's where the moles sat.
I remember this.
So I was singing in the choir from the very beginning.
And the moles, by the way, that's his in-laws. That's just my in-laws. Just to keep everybody on the same page here.
So singing in the choir. Coming to church, coming to Mass, I realized that I really do like the Catholic faith, and I wanted to go through the RCIA process. And so after doing that, we married in the church, started having children, and then I started having to learn my faith even more, because you go through the RCIA and you learn your faith, but it's still at a very low level. I mean, there's still much more to learn. But then we have children. Now we're going to baptize our children. So I've got to learn it enough that I can explain it to my Baptist parents.
Oh,
why are we baptizing these babies? So I had to go into more detail, and which made my love for the church grow even more. Then those children started going through Sunday school, and we had a lady up here, Sylvia Spock, and she says, "I need your help." So Lori and I came up and we started teaching Sunday school classes, and then taking over the Sunday school program and in religious education in general. So all of those opportunities to learn more about our faith, to share it with others, that kind of brought a love about sharing my faith with others, and then more into the servant role inside the church. So maybe, I think it was 20 years ago that Deacon Jay became ordained. So I remember watching him go through the process of diaconate formation, and it intrigued me. And it's probably 6 years or so after he was ordained, they were looking for other people to sign up for this program. And I put my hat in, and Father Stanton, in his wise self, said, "I really think you need to wait a few more years." So I let another cycle of deacons go through, another 5 years or 6 years, and I still had this calling within myself that I felt this urge to even though I'm working full time, I got a full time family, and I'm volunteering at the church. I felt this call within myself to do more and to pursue the diaconate. So after the 6 years Father Stanton telling me to wait, I did it again, and I was accepted and went in through the program. And this has been beautiful. Learning the Catholic faith we went through, we used a program for St. Leo University, and we earned a master's degree in theology. And just going through the very detailed process of earning a master's degree, it opened my eyes to more of the church. I always had a very linear black and white view of the church, and now it's much more broad and a little more colorful, and I really appreciate that.
Wow. So now you have been ordained as a deacon for how long?
3 years.
3 years. How does it feel? Do you feel different?
There is a little. It is different.
I mean, obviously, you wear more clothes to church.
You wear more clothes to church. Absolutely.
A little hot in the summer.
A little hot in the summer. Yeah. Being a deacon, being ordained, it just means that you've been officially installed into the church to do something. And for me, it's the diaconate. And so the things that we do, we proclaim the gospel at Mass, and we occasionally preach baptisms. We do baptisms for those that are under 7 years old. We can do marriages and conduct funerals outside of Mass. And being with the people, especially in those times of sacraments, it is beautiful. Even when, at a marriage, I cannot, at Mass, I cannot, confect the Eucharist. I cannot change the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Jesus. But being there in my role, it is beautiful. Conducting a baptism is beautiful. It's the grace that is given to the child that's being baptized. Some of that grace gets on me, and it's, mm-hmm. it's wonderful.
That's good. So take me through the I guess some of the educational process, if you will, because there is a difference from what I understand, obviously, between the permanent deacon and the transitional deacon, the deacon that goes on to become a priest.
Sure.
Because you're you're like what we would call a terminal degree in college or whatever. It's like you stop. And,
right.
And, but the transitional deacon who goes on to become a priest, he keeps going. But so what is it, what is actually the difference other than that?
Really, that's it. I mean, when I went through formation, we spent the first year in discernment. And we had two college classes. We took, and the way that we did our formation, we took one class a semester. And they drug it out for as long as they could, I think, to make sure that we were in it for the right reasons. Because if we weren't, and it was a very short program, then people, you know, may get in it and doesn't need to be there. But with the long program that's drawn out, you really have to be committed to this to finish, you know, go through the end. But the first year was all about discernment. It was all about trying to listen to the Holy Spirit, you know, in your life. Where do you encounter God, and how do those day-to-day movements, how do they move you? After discernment, and each year there's a board interview. We're not the word board.
BOARD.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a board interview where they ask us questions about how we're progressing spiritually. And each year they could say, you know, this is really not for you, and ask you to leave the program. So after that first year of discernment, we were admitted to the program, those who went on. And we began with the Old Testament. And then we did Old Testament for one semester, which was a blur. Because, as you know, there are a lot of words in the Old Testament.
Mm.
So then the second semester we got into the New Testament. It's not as many words, but it's still quite the blur. Then we went through other classes, such as philosophy and Christology and ecclesiology. And
lots of ologies.
Lots of ologies.
Yeah.
And each year, there's that board interview where they ask you how you're developing. Then the final year, the fifth year, is focused on what they call practicum. That's where we go and learn how to do those things we do at the altar and how to preach a sermon. And while those are very good practice, the first time you do that...
The first time you actually deliver the sermon.
Yeah, it's still nerve-wracking. You're almost, you know, you feel like it's the first time. Because really it is the first time, but it's like you've never gone through practice.
So do you remember your first one here at St. Teresa's?
Yep. Father Ray asked me to preach on the Holy Trinity.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yes, it was.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I remember that this last time that Father Ray preached the Holy Trinity, he says, I'm going to get one of those deacons next time to do it, because it is a very hard subject. I had to remind him that he made me do that my first time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How did you do? Do you remember?
I did okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, people said...
Were we holding up little cards with nines and tens on them? And
okay. Yes. Yes, the Gillens, they sat up in the front row and they held up signs. Luckily, I did not see them. But yeah, it was done. It was fun.
That's good. I mean, I'm sure you did fine. I know that of the homilies that you have delivered, do we get to call them a homily when you give them?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Just wondering if we have to call it something different when it's a deacon that gives it.
Right.
But yeah, of the ones that I have heard you give, you've done a good job.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, but to go back to your previous question about transitional versus permanent deacon.
Oh, yeah.
So I went through the process. I was ordained. And at my ordination, we had two transitional deacons with us. So they go through, and they all basically earn a master's degree in theology. Although, for priests, it's usually MDiv, a Master's of Divinity, whereas mine is a Master's of Theology. And classes are a little different. Theirs is more focused on philosophy, and mine had the individual subjects.
Oh.
And they also have individual subjects, too, but philosophy was their main focus on their MDiv.
So, you know, and this may not be something you're totally versed in, but is it something... You know, for instance, I know the rule is that as a permanent deacon and you are a married man, should your wife pass away and you become a single man, you are not allowed to remarry.
That is correct.
Are you then allowed to somehow convert yourself into a transitional deacon and become a priest?
I could.
That is allowed.
That's allowed.
Okay.
You know, if there's a period of discernment again that's required, and if I was really if I was widowed and I was single, mm-hmm. I could contact the diocese and offer myself into that role, and if accepted, I would go through the rest of seminary, because there's still a formation process that you go with your brothers going through this,
right?
But
you wouldn't have to start from scratch.
No, not from scratch. But there's some portion of it you would have to do.
Right. Okay. I gotcha. All right. So what is is there? Do they explain to you why that rule exists? That when you if you become a widower, that you cannot remarry? Do they give you the reasoning behind that?
So the service in the diaconate takes a lot out of a family, and they don't want to put undue stress on a family. And so my wife Lori actually had to give her permission for me to be in the diaconate. She had to write a letter to the bishop giving explicit permission, and she could have just put this on the rails way long time ago. And so
wives will do that to you. Well,
they can. They can. But I think it's just because your life will be divided, or it can be. There can be some division, or at least you got to rework priorities. But the diaconate can never get in the way of the family, or at least they shouldn't.
Right.
And so then there's also the biblical reasons. So a deacon or even a bishop, because even way long time ago, it's a bishop can be, the husband of one wife. A deacon can be the husband of one wife. So there is biblical stance on that as well.
Hmm. Okay. Very good. All right. So now that you have been a deacon for 3 years, and you've been a husband for 29 years, you said?
Almost. Yep.
And you've been a computer whiz at the hospital for how many years?
I've been in the hospital 23, almost 24 years.
All right. So how does it balance out? Do you feel like it's a good balance?
It is a good balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
I mean, I don't see any gray hair on you. So
well, there's some in there. I think just praying about new ministries that come up, new opportunities, just praying about those. It seemed like when we let prayer guide our day, somehow it all works out. Saint Teresa once said that if you're ever too busy to pray, then you needed to go pray for like 2 hours, double whatever you were going to do. Just pray it twice as much, because with prayer, really good things can happen.
Mm-hmm. So, what is your future like? What do you see in the future for Deacon Mike? What are your goals as far as what you would like to see, your ministry be?
Yeah. My wife and I, we do this together. Where Father Michael Cooper from St. Leo, he helped in our formation. He always talked about deacon couples, and so you'll find my wife and I together a lot, especially in ministry and in the parish. And one of the things that we do as a couple is help with the Family Faith Formation Program. And I would really like to see the Family Faith Formation Program take off. It's already doing a great job. I'd like to see it much, much better. Just having families take responsibility for educating themselves and their and the rest of their family, their kids, on the Catholic faith. I think people have been either weakly catechized or incorrectly catechized, or maybe it's just too long ago and they forgot about just what it is to be Catholic. I think at the root they know, but there's a lot of things that, that people just don't know or they've forgotten. When we started the Family Faith Formation Program, we would run into people in stores, and they would track us down down an aisle and say, you know, thank you for that lesson that you gave to the families. We sort of remembered it, but we were embarrassed to talk about it. But you brought it to the forefront, and now we know. And you know, people just sometimes forget things about the Catholic Church, about our faith, and this is just a very good opportunity for people to learn. And really, I'd like to see that family faith formation program just grow.
Awesome. So that's going to be your number one, I guess you would call it your priority bucket list for ministry.
Yeah, it's the priority bucket. And then probably secondary to that would be the youth ministry. You know, mm-hmm. Our youth are the future of the church. Well, actually, they are the now of the church. The youth, they're members of the Catholic Church, and we want them to be to know as much about it as possible, and to get that fire that everybody needs to want to know more.
Absolutely. Well, believe it or not, your time is on the radio is just about up. You were sweating trying to fill the slot at the beginning, but you managed to do it.
Somehow I managed to do it.
Yeah, I am impressed. Deacon Mike Leach, thanks for spending a little time on the radio with us, and wish you continued success in your what's the appropriate word? It's not deaconhood. Diaconate?
Into the diaconate. Yes, I guess so.
That would be it. We certainly appreciate all the good work you do here at St. Teresa's, and wish you many, many more years of doing so, because you certainly are a great asset to the people here, and to not just at our church, but to our community as well.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for being with us.